B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Well, let's switch gears here to the Eagles for a second with Scott in Barrington. Scott, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Yo, homie.
Nothing much. Gemini of the Droid, what's happening?
What's up, buddy?
Good, always good listening to you guys. Brother Trey, you had me crack it up. I was on the train. Everybody's looking at me. Yo, you just had me rolling, man. Especially with some of my, he was like, nah, I'm good. So
the training camp, yes, of course.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Brother Trey, what if Genie Buss was there?
Still not going to training camp.
Wow. He really is going to go.
Yeah, really.
Moving on with the present team, guys kind of had me thinking when I could talk about we're talking about how it's kind of like with the safety is kind of crowded. I still say, and it's a good thing, don't get me wrong, but with the running back core. So with that being said, fellas, I listed to answer. Love you guys. Fanatic Fan Fest. My question is, What running back do you think would be the odd man out? Once again, fellas, to answer, peace, God bless.
Back at you, brother. Yeah, the running back to be the odd man out? I mean, if Pumphrey is still here by the end of training camp, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
Smallwood, even. I mean, they're going to have a pretty legit running back core.
I think everyone behind Howard, Clement, and Sanders,
Miles Sanders
is odd man out.
They're in some hot water. It's Josh Adams. I thought they fell out of favor more so than they did last year. They actually, he still got some touches last year. I think he had 11 touches in the last game of the season. But again, last game of the season. But yeah, I think Smallwood and Pumphrey, this is the last we see
of
him.
I think it's going to be between those two.
You think it's those two? Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to, Iliano? Iliano and Yardley?
Yeah, you got it, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
What's
up? Guys, I just have a quick little story about Eagles training camp. I heard you guys talking about it not too long ago. And if I may, I used to go to the Eagles training camp all the time when I was younger, and it was the best memory I've ever had besides the Super Bowl as an Eagles fan. And this one particular time I went, and Dave Spadaro, I know all you guys know him.
Sure.
He had this show called Eagles Live. And before the show started, I had a chance to meet him, and he asked me who my favorite player was. I said it was DeSean Jackson, and he's like, okay, yeah, that's awesome. He might be coming on my show today. I was like, oh, that's cool. So then 2 hours later, his show starts, and he sees me in the crowd, and he pulls me out of the crowd, and he says, Iliano, come up here. I want you to meet somebody.
Huh.
And he had me meet DeSean Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Right in front of everybody, Eagles Live, all the Eagles training camp fans were just watching Dave's show. Everyone's just freaking out, like, who is this kid? Who is this kid? Why is he up there with DeSean? Oh, my God. And DeSean was just the coolest guy ever. Dave pulled the most clutch move I've ever seen ever. And honestly, because of that memory, I'll never forget that memory. And I'll be able to tell my kids, my friends, my grandkids, all that forever. And it stinks that Eagles training camp is not going to be around like that for kids like me.
Yeah.
Because that's the best memory that any kid could have growing up.
Think of this for a second. Picture this. The Eagles win the Super Bowl again. DeSean Jackson is at the podium or on the field, and he's hoisting that Lombardi trophy. And you met that guy, and you had that special moment with him. Imagine that.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And I have his jersey signed in my room right now. It's hanging on the wall. And he signed that jersey, a couple things that day. It was the best thing ever. But the thing is, I wanted to bring it up. I'm okay with the Eagles not having the open field practices anymore just because I'm afraid of what happened to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Trey, as a player, I want to ask you. Were you guys afraid that maybe play or people would come to the practices and just film your practices, try to get a little bit of an advantage towards you guys?
I know as a player, I really didn't think about it, but I know that is something that they do think about. Just because whenever you have that many people sitting in the stands, they do send scouts out there to watch you practice.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the big worries that even Chip Kelly had when he first came here, when he made the move. I think that's why Doug Peterson has continued to do so.
All right. Hey, do you have tickets to FanFest yet?
I don't.
You do now, my friend. Thanks very much. Appreciate you sharing those stories with us, man. Do have to tell you, listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. Earlier in the show, in case you missed it, and if you did, congratulations, Inge tried transitioning his career from being a banker to stand-up comedy. Well, a man just went through another transition in his career. Not Fields.
Wow.
Not Fields. Yeah, that's right. I'm tying it in. Okay. Not Fields, but he is now with The Athletic, formerly in The Inquirer. He's a great friend of the program. He's a hell of a guy, and he is now writing for The Athletic, covering the Eagles right there. I bring on our next guest, Zach Berman. Zach, welcome in and congrats, man.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate you saying that.
So you're going to be doing pretty much everything you've been to. You're a beat writer for The Athletic for the Eagles.
Yeah, my day-to-day won't change. The types of stories might change a bit. I'll be doing more bigger feature-type stories. There won't be as much of the day-to-day, but I'll still have my pulse on the team, and I'll still be following all the news and hopefully breaking some news along the way. It just the transaction, the down-the-roster transaction kind of won't be the big story. It'll be bigger in scope, bigger features, hopefully.
All right. Well, you listen to me, Berman. I want to make sure that we draw a line in the sand here. You make sure you leave the juicy stories like players reacting to their Madden ratings or what's their favorite sports movie. You leave those stories to me.
Hey, I'm giving those to you. I can't compete in that area. So I always, you got to know what you do well. And
I always like going up to like our, you know, friends of ours like Dave Zangaro, whoever, Ruben Frank, you know, the guys I work with at NBC, and just saying, hey, I got the scoop today, boys. I got the big one. I got the juicy story, and they're like, yeah, sure. But no, seriously, congratulations on the gig with the Athletic. I look forward to reading your stuff there, Zach. Now, we were just talking about the secondary. We've talked about the running back core. We've talked about the offensive line, the defensive line. When you look at this team, just, you know, from the blimp, you know, the bird's eye view, when you look at this team as it is, what are you expecting to be the most dominant aspect of this team?
Well, the quarterback, if he stays healthy.
Okay.
That's the key. And then the offensive skill positions. I mean, this is, in my opinion, and in Doug Peterson's opinion, the best group of offensive skill players they've had since Doug took the job in 2016. So I think if Carson remains healthy, then this is a chance to really be a high-powered offense, especially when you consider the stability they have on the offensive line, just the diversity of weapons they have. You know, when you can spread out with four wide receivers, you can play two tight ends. You have, if Miles Sanders is what they think he's going to be, two reliable running backs. So I just think that the depth that they have is the best that they've had on the offensive side since Doug Peterson took over.
Now, I know that we had Zach Ertz a couple of weeks ago make the comment about the most talented team that he's ever been a part of and all that. I look at it and I say, when you think about the starters and everybody's staying healthy, yeah, that makes sense. But will there ever be a roster from 1 to 53 that was better than the Super Bowl year? Like, you talk about depth.
It's a good question. And a lot of it really depends on who stays healthy, who gets injured, and which backups you hit on. You know, if we're being honest, when we spoke in August of 2017, I don't know if you thought Corey Graham would be a player who would take over, you know, 60-70% of the snaps in the Super Bowl. And you go on down the list. Nelson Aguilar was a question mark going into 2017. Had the most receptions for them in the Super Bowl. Corey Clement was on the bottom of the depth chart that year, was the leading receiver in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think that remains to be seen. But I do think that their depth chart is better now than it was going into 2017. Although there are some positions where there are bigger question marks.
Zach, when we talk about depth chart, I go right to the secondary, and you have so many guys there: LeBlanc, Darby, Douglas, Maddox, Mills, Jones, all of them. Many will say there's a lot of depth there. I wonder how much talent there is there. The numbers are there, yes, and a lot of those guys gained experience last year. How do you see that group playing out, and what do you think their talent level is?
Yeah, I like that group, and I like that group because I still think Sidney Jones has a lot of good football left in him, and I don't think Philadelphia has seen what Sidney Jones can be. Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby both coming off major injuries, so there's a question mark there, and Mills did not play that well last year, but these were your two starters in the Super Bowl, and I do think if they're healthy, the experience they have, you can rely on that. And then what you saw from Avante Maddox, what you saw from Rasul Douglas last year taking a step forward, Craven LeBlanc when he came in late in the year, I think 1 through 6, they're deeper at cornerback than they've been in a long time. Now they're relying on guys staying healthy and relying on guys playing better than they played in the case of Sidney Jones. But I wouldn't worry so much about cornerback. My concern for the Eagles would be more defensive end depth. And I think considering the importance of that position and what that means for this defense, that's going to be one of the big questions during the next month.
Talk about the defensive side of the ball on the defensive line with Derek Barnett. This was a deep draft class of defensive ends. Howie Rosen pointed it out before the draft. I think it was 9 defensive ends went the first 3 rounds. How much are they really investing in Derek Barnett to take that step forward, being that they didn't address defensive end in the draft till the 5th round with Sharif Miller?
Yeah, good question. I think it's really the same trust they had in him last year. He had, 3.5 sacks in the first 4 games, and then he got the injury and tried playing through it, went on IR. But they're expecting Derek Barnett to be not just a good player, but really one of the front of the roster players. He is, he was number 14 pick in the draft, showed promise as a rookie, was outstanding at Tennessee. And the thing that I can't emphasize enough with Derek Barnett is just how young he is. All right, so you talk about how loaded up a draft class this is. Derek Barnett is younger than Christian Wilkins, who was, the number 13 pick in the draft this year. The Eagles drafted him at the age of 20. He's 23 right now. So I think Derek Barnett has the chance to be an elite player, and I think because of the injury last year, there might not be – I think fans might not remember what he was at Tennessee or kind of the promise that he showed as a rookie.
Zach, who do you view to be the most important person on the offensive line this year? And maybe it's the best, maybe it's something else, but who do you view as the most important to keep that line together this year?
That's a great question because you have really 4 established players. I'd say Jason Kelce because he's so important to that line. A and B, I don't know if they have the depth behind him. You have Stefan Wisniewski, who's a reliable player, but Kelce does so much. And then the other one I say is Brandon Brooks, because he's coming off the injury and he was an elite player, and you just want to see if he can return to form and how quickly. I didn't mention the tackles there, and obviously you're talking about 2 Pro Bowl tackles, but I think they have depth at that position. So if something were to happen to Jason Peters this year, they can withstand that. You've seen in Lane Johnson's case the way he's developed, but if something were to happen there, I think they can withstand that a bit. I don't know if they can withstand interior injuries as much. So I would say Jason Kelce and Brandon Brooks.
When you say they could withstand that, who would replace who? Like who's replacing Lane Johnson?
So they're playing Halapulivati Vaitai at the right side, they played him at guard during training camp, but he's played the right side before, and he started in the Super Bowl, so he has some experience there. But then Andre Dillard, the fact that this is your first round pick, you made that investment in him. I think that even though you saw him exclusively on the left side during camp or during the spring, I think they might cross train him a bit during camp. And then Jordan Mailata is someone who played more right tackle snaps during the spring this year. So even though there are drop-offs, obviously, from Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, I think there's just more experience and more talent there than there is on the interior.
You think Andre Dillard is going to be ready to step in as a rookie if needed and hold it down?
I think they're really counting on a healthy year from Jason Peters. I think the hope is the redshirt him. I do think that the type of talent that he has, he'll be able to step in if there is an injury.
Okay. Speaking with Zach Berman from The Athletic. Now, Zach, we do the same type of thing with a guy named Adam Schefter. You're both big NBA fans, aside from knowing the NFL inside and out. I don't know if you know about this, but Elton Brand, Chief Beef himself, was on with us earlier in the week and said, for sure, Ben Simmons is going to come back with a jump shot. If he does develop that, what type of talent are we looking at with Ben Simmons?
you're talking about a top 10 talent. I mean, if he does develop that jump shot, because he was an all-star last year during the regular season, I think unequivocally he was a top 25 player, and that was without a jump shot. So if you add a jump shot to his game with the type of defensive potential that he has, the type of athleticism that he has, the size mismatch that he has, I don't think we'll be able to count 10, 15 players in the NBA better than him if he adds that dimension.
All right, now just to flip it back to football to end with you on this one, we're doing this very early, the early stages, because I haven't talked to one person that hasn't said at least 11 wins for the Eagles this upcoming season. Right now, again, bird's eye view, outside looking in, before training camp, where about do you have the Eagles right now win total-wise?
I'd say 11 wins is a reasonable number, or that should be the goal. I think more than that might be a little ambitious. With that said, it really depends on number 11. You know, I mean, if Carson Wentz is healthy, this team's a legitimate Super Bowl contender. If Carson Wentz is not healthy, Nick Foles is not here this year. And Nate Sudfeld's taken 25 pass attempts in his career. So there's a great unknown there. That's a big variable going into the season. So it might seem simplistic to say, but they're only going as far as Wentz takes us this year.
Got it. Zach Berman from The Athletic. Congratulations again, Zach, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Anytime.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Zach.
Zach Berman, ladies and gentlemen, from The Athletic. 610-632-0975. Got David in Baltimore. Let's talk some Phils. Another loss by the Phillies last night. They muster two hits.
Two
hits.
Not one, two.
But you'll hear Gabe Kapler in a second talk about both teams were struggling. Open lines after Dave in Baltimore, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 923.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Don't forget, tomorrow, Friday, we will talk about our Hollis True Value and Garden Center Tool of the Week. Hollis True Value and Garden Center. You can also check this one out here. All plants, trees, and shrubs are now buy one, get one free at Hollis True Value and Garden Center, 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill. I wanted to say this real quick as well. Last night, I know I made fun of the fan that ran on the field at the Phillies game, but the two kids that got the foul ball, the one kid picked up the foul ball.
That was pretty cool.
Gave it to the other kid. Look at that.
Yeah.
Sportsmanship.
Yeah, we
pass
like
it
that.
On. Remember the, like that. Remember those commercials that were terrible? Sportsmanship. Pass it on. No, coach, that ball was out on me. Remember that? Do you remember that? Yeah, I would have smacked that kid. If he was on my team, I would have been like, shut up,
in
dude.
In a pickup game?
No, this wasn't a pickup game. This is a real game.
Oh.
Do you remember that, kid? No, coach, it was out on me.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
I remember thinking, get off my team. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah,
but nonetheless, congratulations to those kids on great sportsmanship last night.
Yeah. Time and place, I would have said to the kid. This wasn't the time or the place.
Exactly. David in Baltimore, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're okay today. We're okay.
When I turned on the radio this morning, and the first thing I heard is, well, they have four good starters, and you kept going about the four good starters, and I'm like, have they been drinking at the Fanatic this early in the morning? Then I realized you were talking about the Eagles secondary. I caught it right when you said the Morgan started. I was like, did we transfer somebody? I didn't know.
Well, we haven't been drinking, but somebody did drop off four cases of beer for us for no reason.
Well, maybe the Phillies should start drinking. They might. So, like, I'm just a glutton for punishment. I keep saying I'm just not going to care, but it's impossible not to because I think that's what it means to be a fanatic, because nothing makes sense when you're a fan.
Sure.
You don't think rationally. And it's just getting to a point where I'm so frustrated that I don't even know where to vent my frustration. So let me just ask you guys a couple questions. Number one, is it because we just don't have talent, or is I think it starts, first of all, from the scouting. I don't think – we obviously don't have great scouts. Because not even one of our starters that I was hoping would take a step forward, just one. And by the way, I didn't say to be great, just serviceable,
right,
has been serviceable. And so are we? We're just. It doesn't feel like we're drafting well. Doesn't feel like maybe we're coaching our talent well. It's just like, as much as I want McPhail to make a move, they're gonna have to make a million moves just to even be competitive. Like, the bullpen is terrible. Other than Nola, can Nola pitch every 2 days? I mean, it's just. What are you going
to
do?
No. Here's how I've been describing the Phillies today when talking about the team. First off, I just want people to realize that this is a... I know people are still hanging on to something here, but make no mistake, this is a bad baseball team. Like, I know the money was spent in the offseason, but right now this is a bad team. Whether the president of the Phillies, Andy McPhail, wants to come out and say that this team still needs to gel, or they want to acknowledge that they don't have the starters to win, this is a team that is incomplete, and an incomplete baseball team is a bad baseball team. I'm hoping, beyond hope, that they do something at the trade deadline. I doubt that they will. That'll put them over the top and solidify a spot as a playoff team. But I really am thinking about this team, how they're more or less telling us that we're going to have to wait for the next offseason for them to complete the rest of this roster with somebody that's substantial to either make your pitching staff better, talking about your starting arms, or maybe solidify another position spot. But what you need to do if you're the Phillies is add to the rotation so you have somebody after Aaron Nola that's got some punch in that rotation.
But so, Mark, so let me ask you this question, though. There's only so much. Like, I feel like Klintak did enough this year to keep his job. Like, I know...
Sure. Oh, yeah, he's not getting fired, yeah.
But he made some good moves. But, like, how many moves can you make in the offseason to make yourself competitive? Like, at some point, your young players, they have to be better. Either you have to draft better, or they have to be... What are we supposed to do? Sign 4 starters next year? 4 bullpen guys? It's just not going to happen. Like,
yeah.
Where is the young talent that's supposed to step up?
Well...
Nick Pivetta, could you step up? Zach Elson, can you step up?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, when it comes to young talent stepping up, I mean, the only guy they have in the minors right now that looks like he's anybody is Adonis Medina, and he's in AA, and I don't see him reaching into AA anytime soon to come up and help the big league ball club. Alec Bohm will at least be in AAA by the time the season's over, which is just insane to think about, considering he was in low A ball just last year. They like this kid Stott. Apparently, he's off to some hot start as he just started his professional career. And then you also have Mickey Moniak, who has seemed to turn a bit of a corner at AA. So that's what they're looking forward to, but that's even maybe a year removed from before any type of big impact at the MLB level.
No, and that's what I'm saying. And I think that's, like, from a fan's perspective, I'm frustrated because, like, it feels like we don't have any young talent, and everybody's just like, oh, we'll just wait for another offseason. And my whole point is, I mean, I think the offseason, the free agents, you supplement your team and you get that piece that can put you over the edge.
Mm.
But they have so many holes. I can't believe how many holes we have. I really thought after this year, we would be...
How bad we are.
I can't.
All right, Dave, we're losing a little bit. Did we give you FanFest tickets yet?
No, Mark, and I'm very insulted, man.
I'll give them to you, David.
Yeah, you're there. You're there, brother. We'll see you there.
All right, thanks,
my man. David,
you know, David makes a great point, though. Mm. What did you expect them to do this offseason? Get 4 starters? Get with all the offense that you got with obviously the $330 million man? Maybe they saw that. Maybe they saw, all right, it's offense, and I've said this before, but maybe it's offense this offseason and it's pitching next offseason. But wherever that all-in quote came from, now I don't really. Well, was it one of the?
No, it wasn't a quote from them. It was their actions told you they were
okay,
all in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So did they then?
Well, I'm telling you, they banked on this pitching staff taking a little bit of a step forward after Nola. Not that Jake Arrieta was going to be some Cy Young candidate again, or that Nick Pivetta and Vince Velasquez were going to turn some major corner. But serviceable.
Yeah.
Your starting pitchers this year are the 4th worst in the National League.
And maybe that should have been expected. It shouldn't have been. Maybe it was a case where, all right, we're getting the $330 million man. We're getting some real pros in Segura and real Muto and McCutcheon, and we'll ride out the staff. Mm. And then we'll see what's what. And if the staff improves, if Pivetta becomes, I don't know, a number 4, if Vinny Velasquez proves that he can be a 5, if Eflin shows that he's right around there also, okay, maybe we have something to work with. But the all-in, maybe they weren't. Maybe they didn't think it was all-in this year. Because one guy called last week and said, you know, know, Bryce Harper, you know, World Series. Well, you have him for 13 years. Maybe they didn't say first year that he's here, World Series. Oof. You have him for 13 years.
Well, I think there's a reason why Middleton wanted to get Bryce Harper so bad, and it was to put the buzz back in the building.
No question.
And it lasted for an opening series, pretty much. It was like the Braves. The Braves started throwing at the Phillies, and then it was over. Like, that's pretty much how it worked out, unfortunately. But speaking of hitting, hoping that would come around, because Trey, we thought this lineup was going to be, you know, making the runs happen all the time. Boom, 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 run after run.
Absolutely, because you could tell, that's what we thought. Coming into it is that, all right, the pitching might not be where it needs to be, but our offense is going to get us where we need. We're going to outslug everybody. And it's just not happening.
Mm. Well,
it's not happening.
Well, according to Gabe Kapler,
the
7-2 loss last night, you know, both teams were really struggling offensively. Yeah. Did you know that? I thought if you score seven runs, you're doing pretty good.
Seven runs isn't bad.
That's a solid day at work.
That's a good day at the office.
Yeah.
Well, Gabe the Babe didn't really see it that way. He thought both offenses were struggling. Here we go.
It seemed like both teams were having trouble putting the fat part of the bat on the ball. Certainly, we'd like to come out and swing the bats better than we did. We know that in order for us to beat a team like the Dodgers, we're going to have to score some runs, and we just weren't able to do that. It's bottom line. We've got to do better.
It wasn't us. It was both teams. It was something in the air last night.
After more thought, I agree with him. The Dodgers couldn't because the Phillies pitchers couldn't get the ball over the damn plate. So there was no way to get the fat part of the bat on the ball because they walked 10 times. 10 walks. 10 walks. Nick. And he's saying the other team couldn't get the fat part of the bat on the ball.
Nick Pivetta.
They didn't have to.
Did they give up two home runs?
Two run homers. There's four runs right there.
Jeez. Game set, and they scored seven runs. Two of them.
Seven runs.
Let's see.
You average seven runs a game. You're winning some World Series.
Four of the runs came off of home runs, the long ball. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
But they were doing the barrel. What about the barrel and barrel and the ball and all that fun stuff? No? No, Moss? What?
With this Phillies pitching, it came to me the other night. You know the netting controversy that's going on around baseball. The way the Phillies pitchers give up home runs, how fast those... Did you see how fast some of those balls got out of there on Tuesday night?
Yeah.
You're going to have to put netting up around the whole stadium when there's Phillies pitchers on the mound.
Oh, we got the Phillies in? Put up the all around.
Yeah. I mean, it's that bad.
What's the word? It's not conflagration. What's the word? I can't remember. That's going to come to me. But you're surrounding something? It's not conflagration. That's a fire.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll come to me. It's a military term. Anyway. 610-632-0975. Hey, remember Skippets? They were fun. We were talking about that earlier in the program. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got, is it Themis? Themis? Mm-hmm. Coming up in Center City. Wants to talk some birds. And also, coming up after the program today, Jamie Lynch, you haven't heard him in a while. You know why? He's on his way down to Xfinity.
Gone, he got traded.
He's on his way. Yes, we traded him
him to the Midday Show.
For a player to be named later. We have traded Jamie Lynch to the Midday Show. He's going to be taking over for Anthony and Jason, at least for the day. We have Anthony and Jason out today. We have Andrew Salchunas and Jamie Lynch in.
Down at the Xfinity Live.
At Xfinity. So if you're going if you're going down to watch Aaron Nola pitch today, stop by, see the boys, see Jamie Lynch, and see Andrew Salchunas at Xfinity. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic 941.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Still amazed at the Edgar Martinez, and I've known that for a while, that Edgar Martinez would write the number of the ball.
That's one
on
of the neatest things in sports as far as training goes, I think.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever do it? What's the craziest thing you ever did to do, like, train, Trey? Like, out of the, I mean, something that I might not think of, like lift weights, right? But, like, anything off the wall?
I did executive protection training one time.
Really?
Yeah, I was out in the middle of the woods in Maryland. Just running around, shooting, and doing all kinds of wild stuff, you know. Yeah.
How did they relate that to football?
I don't know.
Was it? Was it through the Eagles and
no,
stuff?
No, it wasn't through the Eagles. It was something I wanted to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you would just go out there and you're like, training to be a secret agent?
Would you go to the farm?
Like protection, you know, bodyguarding and all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
We're out in the middle of the woods in Maryland just, you know, shooting and being shot with paintball guns and learning how to, you know, if someone comes at you with a gun, how to take the gun and all that stuff. It was pretty cool.
A little throat punch?
Yeah, a little throat punch here and there, you know. And then they had us, one of the cool things they had us do is we had to go to the this place and kind of scout it out. Like if we had a guest coming in and this dude had the entire town in on the thing. So we stopped someone that asked for directions and this lady was like, yeah, follow me, you know? And then she just took off down the road doing like 100. We're trying to keep up with her. And then I think our final test was we had to go to this little bar and we had to walk everybody around. And then we came back to the hotel where they had people sitting in the hotel waiting on our guests to get there. They shot up the hotel with little paintball guns and stuff. Man. It was pretty cool, man.
Your job was to protect.
Yeah, I tried to protect that guy. So we got our guy, swooped him out, threw him in the car, and then we left. And then, you know, it was.
Was this pre or post waterbed?
This was post waterbed.
Okay, just want to make sure.
I just want to reintroduce
that to the conversation. That you don't still own the waterbed.
No, the waterbed been set ablaze.
The theme is in Center City. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on?
Good morning, boys. So I really can't wait until the morning of August 9th so we can overreact to the first Eagles preseason.
Yeah,
because it's much better than talking about the Phillies giving up alarming record home runs. And how about also today, if Aaron Nola happens to get belted with some home runs, we have to dedicate a segment to the Open Championship going on in Northern Ireland, because I'd much rather hear about that.
Well, no. That's tomorrow, Thames. A fun summer Friday. We're going to have some fun with bucket list sports items.
Mm.
Because, you know, the British Open, excuse me, the Open.
The Open Championship.
The Open Championship. Excuse me. That is something that is bucket list for me. I don't know if I'll ever get to do it. I don't know if I even want to do it because I'm not good at golf. Why would I want to go out there and like hack up a beautiful course like that?
Oh,
right?
Wait, I thought you were going to say you wanted to go watch an Open Championship somewhere. You want to play
St. Andrews.
St. Andrews in Scotland.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Wow.
Like
listen. Like they say, it's all about having fun. Everybody sucks at golf, Mark. And if they don't suck and if they don't suck, then they're lying about their score. Anyway, so from driving Dodgers pitcher, Dodgers hitting coach yesterday, Robert Van Skoyek, whatever the hell his name is, telling me that Philly's got Gabe Kapler all wrong and that analytics are the real deal, putting me in more misery, to today driving Mr. Miles Sanders, the Eagles' NovaCare complex, got me all excited for football. I'm breathing football, smelling football. I'm thinking of the last sports epic moment in my life, and it's February 2018, and the next chance Philadelphia has even a chance to experience some bliss is not until the Eagles start. So Philadelphia, Eagles, let's go, baby. It's coming, Philly.
There you
it's
go, brother. Coming. There you go. Hey, do you have FanFest tickets yet?
I do not.
Bada boom, bada bing.
I'd be happy to come.
Bada boom, bada bing. Now you got him, my friend. See you there. We're going to jump into our takeaways of the day, but don't forget tomorrow, we're going to have our first ever A Big Sexy Report. Every week, you know, somebody does something where you consider them a big sexy. We got offensive linemen we consider big sexies, right? Well, we're going to have that. It's going to be brought to you by the wonderful people of Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. Don't forget about them. They had the Diamond G String competition last night. Heard that went swimmingly well. Heard it was absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're going to jump into our takeaways of the day, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe Sam has our fine takeaway. Oh, we didn't have a Twitter poll today, but if we did, it was brought to you by the wonderful people of Window Nation. Searching for windows, shop windownation.com. Call 866-90-NATION. Don't forget about their 50% off sale, any style window. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is that Nelly is 44 years old.
Hey-o.
I wonder if he's still wearing the Band-Aid.
I think he's finally healed.
After 20 years.
Jamie Lynch on location with Andrew Salchunas at Xfinity Live before today's Phillies game with Aaron Nola on the bump, trying to split the series with the Dodgers. Jamie Lynch, what's your takeaway of the day?
Well, one, in that it's Nola Day, and thank the heavens for that. Two, if you stop by and see Andrew and I today, We got like 500 or 600 Fan Fest tickets. Stop by, say hello.
Oh!
We'll hook you up. No questions asked. And third, my actual takeaway.
Three takeaways? Because he's a midday host now. He gets three takeaways?
Look at you!
Okay.
It is the Jamie Lynch station after
all. My third takeaway of the day is, my lord, the construction on the roads in this city sucks right now. Everywhere you go. It's unbelievable.
I heard a vicious rumor that we put about 1,000 FanFest tickets available on the website yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were gone in 2 minutes.
The exact number of hits the Phillies had last night.
Hey! Two. Thanks for looking up.
See you guys.
Yeah, see you, buddy.
Are you sure, Jane? Anything else? Yeah, take everything else away.
Kind of annoying me, Bob. Do you want to talk about that?
No, I'm good. Right.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
I don't know anybody that owned a waterbed that I can recall, but I can guarantee that nobody rocked one the way Trey Thomas did.
Back, I don't know, man.
Back in the day.
You might want to check, man. You know, it was a thing to do.
That's all right.
Trey, what's your takeaway of the day?
Man, you know what? Watching these golfers, I mean, I feel like I have a chance.
I'm not even kidding when I say this, Trey. My takeaway, Bob, along your lines, my takeaway of the day is that I'm not going to be able to get the mental picture of Trey doing the motion of a waterbed.
Oh, yeah.
While smacking his hands together.
Tying the wave.
Talking about riding
the wave.
Riding the wave.
That's right.
Riding the wave.
Tying the wave.
And the topless mermaid.
Yeah, the topless mermaid.
Holding the pearl.
Holding the pearl.
That'll be my takeaway of the day. I got to go try out for the union, ladies and gentlemen. Doing that later today for NBC Sports Philly. Yeah, that's going to be a good time. Stay tuned for Andrew Salchunas and our own Jamie Lynch filling in for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.